It's the Blue Jays this week. Ben Ennis and Mike Wilner. Mike is in San Francisco. Mike, how's the weather?
Well, it was cool last night, almost chilly, and I expect the same tonight. Right now, it's sort of overcast. Looking out my hotel window, but it's nice. This is a fantastic city. San Diego is a fantastic city. So this road trip, 2 out of 3, ain't bad.
Have you had garlic fries yet? Do you plan on having garlic fries?
I don't plan on having garlic fries.
But they're really good. They're really good.
I understand that they're really good, and that's one of the reasons that I'm thinking about it.
Mm.
They are A, not really good for you, and 2, I don't think freely available unless you
ballpark.
Get down into the ballpark and into the bowl where all the fans are sitting. And honestly, I have no idea if I'm going to have time to wander around the park today. I'd really like to, but again, might not be able to. The San Diego games were a real, real rush to get everything done. There's a lot. It's funny. It seems like it would be so easy to just get an interview and put a pregame show together and all of that stuff. It can be exceedingly difficult.
Your life is so hard.
Well, it's just, you know, I had 4 days when the Blue Jays were playing the Braves to try to get this interview done that I wanted to get done. I had 2 willing participants and couldn't do it because I never found the 2 of them at the same time. You've been down there. You understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I get it.
There's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm just kidding around. Yeah, you do a great job, Mike.
Oh, we have to give people. People need the insight into these things.
I know.
That's why they listen to us.
I think we do a pretty good job of doing that on the podcast, actually. Remember when you were walking through the bowels of Target Field? That was kind of cool during the podcast, and you got attacked by a bug? You don't remember that.
I remember the bugs at Target Field, for sure.
You don't remember doing the podcast.
No, I don't remember doing the podcast in the bowels, no.
Wow. Must have been all those... Well,
it was a year ago.
Yeah. God. So long ago. Anyways, you want to talk baseball, I guess?
It's up to you. Whatever.
Well, actually, I want to talk inner workings for one more second, because why does it seem that whenever an East Coast team, or maybe it's just this stupid team, goes on the West Coast, they play games that last until 3:30 in the morning?
Maybe it is just a stupid team. I don't understand it. I don't know.
Because I covered for you once last year. The one game that I got to cover for you, I was really excited to do this post-game show in Oakland, Jays and A's.
Friday night in Oakland, and they went forever, right? That was the game Lori and Rasmus both got hurt?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we did a Blue Jays talk starting at like 3:15, and it went to 3:30. It's great.
Yeah, that's what I did this Friday night, basically. That's actually a funny story, too, because the reason you were covering for me was because I was in Boston. My cousin was getting married, and the Saturday afternoon, I was doing a hit with Roger Lajoie to talk Blue Jays, and Friday night was the family dinner prior to the wedding. And I paid no attention to the Blue Jays at all that night. And Joe Sicilia, the fine producer, calls me Saturday afternoon and says, okay, you ready to go on with Raj? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? Oh, by the way, Joe, did anything happen in the game last night? And he just ran down this list of stuff. I thought he was kidding.
No.
I seriously
that was legit.
Thought none of it was serious. But
David Cooper had a big hit in that game. Didn't he send it to extras or something? I think they were down to their last strike.
Yeah, off of Ryan Webb or whatever.
Yeah.
What's his name? The all-star guy that Oakland had, the closer?
Come on. I had it. I don't know. Who cares? It's not a big deal.
Ryan Cook.
That's him.
Yeah. I know there was a Ryan in there somewhere.
That was fun. I'm sure 17 innings is a lot of fun to be a part of as well, and especially when it's like your first day of the road trip and you travel.
Especially when you woke up on Eastern time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, you need to start drinking coffee.
Or I need to start drinking, one or the other.
Yeah, one or both. But, you know, Irish up your coffee.
Yeah, could be.
All right, let's talk about this team. The hits keep coming to the starting staff. I thought there was no chance that Brandon Morrow was going to make that start on Sunday. Hey, guess what? I was right. I was right. To the DL he goes, and how can you not when a guy's got some sort of a soreness in his arm, now whether it's forearm, whether it's elbow, wherever it is, Brandon Morrow, the velocity was seriously impacted that last start. Didn't get into the third, I don't even think. I think you just went two, right?
No, just went two, yeah.
Yeah. So he's on the DL. The hits keep coming to this starting staff, and on my radio show on Saturday, I was running it down, and if people don't know about XFIP, it's not that complicated. Well, I mean, the formula is complicated, but you don't need to worry yourself with the formula. It's made by smarter people than I, but it tries to measure what a pitcher can do that is independent of his fielders, and it just tries to measure what the pitcher can control. And the Blue Jays starters, well, this was on Saturday, and I guess couldn't have got much better from Saturday. But on Saturday, before that game on Saturday.
Well, the starter on Sunday only got six outs himself. So
yeah, so I'm sure.
Couldn't have gotten any better.
Yeah, the Blue Jays XFIP for their starters dead last in Major League Baseball behind the Houston Astros. So bad. I mean, it can't be this bad the rest of the season, but I mean, when everybody's going down week after week, maybe it can.
Well, if you're a fatalist, maybe it can. I don't think it can. I honestly believe that we are going to see a brand spanking new Josh Johnson from this point out.
His last rehab start was not encouraging.
No, it wasn't. But he also said he was just going to work on stuff and treat it like a spring training start. Which is fine. I believe that Josh Johnson has hundreds of millions of reasons to be motivated to have a great rest of the season.
You would think.
Yeah.
But that means the Blue Jays only have three healthy starters right now. One of them has been better recently, except not his last start, and that's Mark Burley. And one of them's really underperformed, and that's R.A. Dickey.
Well, Burley's last start was only one bad inning, so that's not.
Yeah, you can't keep saying that when. Yeah, well, yeah, the defense is another thing we're going to get to in this show, but yeah, I mean, you can say that for that start in Tampa where he gave up seven.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's been just to give an update on that XFIP. Yes, they're still dead last. 4-8-4. Astros are 4-8-0.
Yeah, not a surprise.
No,
not a surprise. They've been the starting pitching. As a rule, has been just really, really bad for the Blue Jays, which is too bad because it's certainly we expected the exact opposite. We expected, well, a lot of people were telling me, though I was disagreeing, that the bullpen was going to be a big, big weak spot for this team. And I said, no.
Bullpen's been great.
Fine. And the bullpen's been spectacular.
Even the dudes they called up that are unheralded have been great.
One dude of whom will be on our on the video podcast.
Yeah, that's right, Neil Wagner. Which I'm gonna go tape sans you. You already did the interview. I mean, you're part of the podcast. How long is the interview? It's like 5 minutes, 6 minutes,
3.5 minutes, I think.
Okay, so yeah, it'll be a significant portion of the podcast. Unfortunately, couldn't work it out because of the time change and everything for you to be on at the same time.
Hopefully next week we'll be able to do that because it'll be Chicago. It won't be as bad.
Let me interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you some news that just came across my wire. Jennifer Love Hewitt is pregnant, Mike. So.
Oh, mazel tov to her and hers.
I don't know. It just, it just popped across my screen.
She should only have a happy and a healthy child.
Yeah, good for her. But the bullpen's been outstanding, really. I'm trying to think of who's been the worst performer. Brad Lincoln hasn't exactly been great, but he hasn't.
But he's been good lately.
I guess.
Yeah, and you know what? 22 and two-thirds innings in San Diego, and they allowed one run. Brett Cecil is on just the stupid... ridiculous run now, as I mentioned in my last column that you should be reading on every day on sportsnet.ca, or at least as often as I write one.
Mm-hmm.
37 batters faced, 2 hits and a walk.
It's
and 15 strikeouts.
Crazy.
It's just stupid.
It is great. And I know I'm with you because you've heard the calls on Twitter to see what he could do in the rotation. He's just thriving in his spot right now, and you'd hate to totally screw him up. Look at what the Red Sox did with Daniel Bard. Daniel Bard may never be the same again. It appears he's not the same. I guess you run the risk of that happening with Brett Cecil, although it would be interesting to see him back in the rotation to see what he can do. But he's been outstanding, not just lefties either. It's everybody.
Yeah, it's everybody, and it's been so good. yeah, if it ain't broke, don't break it. You know, don't leave him there. He doesn't have to go through lineups more than once. He doesn't have to pace himself or anything like that. So just, you know, it's fine. And he's doing great, and let's keep it that way.
Yeah, he's been great. Speaking of Brad Lincoln, it was something I posed on Twitter a couple of days ago, I think, looking back at those two trades for the relievers, Travis Snyder for Brad Lincoln, and then it was Eric Thames for Steve Delabar. That Thames deal looks like it was a big thumbs up for Alex Anthopoulos. Not so sure about the Snyder one. I guess the jury's still out, and there's plenty of time for Brad Lincoln to become something. And it's not like Travis Snyder's tearing up the National League. He's not even playing every day, but he's been pretty good. I mean, hindsight, what do you think of those two deals?
Can we think of them opposite?
Why?
Because if you think of it as Snyder for Delabar and Thames for Lincoln, you're a lot happier.
I guess, because Eric Thames hasn't done anything.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it really comes down to. Look, nobody loves Travis Snyder more than I do, and that's very obvious, and it's come across for years. Travis Snyder was going to have a really, really hard time making the team this year, and he was out of options. And, you know, with Melky Cabrera and in left field, there's your everyday player, so there's no one for Snyder to platoon against. There might have been the Snyder versus Lind thing in the spring if he was still here. But the Blue Jays had a lot more invested in Lind, and he was going to get the opportunity, and it's a good thing that he got the opportunity because he's having a fantastic year to this point. So Travis Snyder probably was not going to make the team and was going to be dealt for almost nothing on March 30th. So that they didn't have to put him through waivers, which sucks. I think the thing to be upset about Snyder is 3 years ago.
Yep.
That's when they screwed him up. If they had done,
should be writing your letters to Cito Gaston.
Well, that whole regime. You know, I don't know if it's Cito specifically. Cito certainly had a hand in it. So did Gene Tennis. So did J.P. Ricciardi. A lot of people contributed to the mishandling of Travis Snyder, and I think that's what ruined him for the Blue Jays, because, you know, look at him now, and he's doing fine. He had the walk off the other day, but really, he's not hitting lefties at all. Pardon?
I didn't see it. He had a walk off. Good for
him.
Yeah,
he had a walk off.
Not as good as the Russ
Saturday or Sunday. It was a single in the 11th inning.
Not as good as the Russell Martin walk off pop up against the Astros.
Didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see that? That was the most Astros-y play ever. In the bottom of the ninth, I guess. It might have been even extras. No, I think it was the ninth. Bases loaded, two out. Routine pop-up to second base. Second baseman and right fielder ran into each other for the Astros to end the game. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, anyways. You know, so
But for Snyder, I mean, right now he's platooning and, you know, he's not hitting lefties at all, and he's got a 730 on base against, or OPS against righties, which is not good.
No.
But it's
plays
fine.
Good defense.
And yeah, and he plays good defense. And look, in a couple of years still, I think he's going to wind up being a really, really good baseball player because he's still only 25. But it may still, that you know, there may be three more teams between now and then for him.
In a vacuum, Steve Delabar for Travis Snyder. Who wins?
Blue Jays win that.
If you got Snyder, I don't know. I mean, he is a reliever. He's been a great reliever. But if Snyder turns into an everyday guy, obviously it's a different story.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with you know, lamenting the loss of Jason Wirth when he was great with the Phillies.
Yeah,
because he'd already made two other stops between here and there.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's going to happen with Travis. He's going to make a couple more stops, and then he's going to come into his own, and he's going to wind up being a really good baseball player and a big contributor. But he will have been passed around, and everyone in the league could have had him. You know, people are still talking about, look at Aaron Hill, even though he's played 10 games this year and he's hurt. Boy, the Blue Jays should never have made that trade because Aaron Hill had a great year with the Diamondbacks. But the Jays could have had him back even after they traded him, and so could everybody else in the league have had him. So
yeah.
You can't get upset about stuff like that.
I don't like to get upset at all.
Well, that's a good way to be.
Just try to keep an even keel.
That's what Satchel Paige used to say.
Just don't get upset. You know, life's too short.
Don't get your blood angered up.
Oh, okay. Good call. It must be tough for Ricky Romero to not get that way. The way things have gone for him, he clears waivers, and you can't be surprised at that. But the $20 million still owed to him off the 40-man right now, and it's a good time to do it when he completely stinks. If you think he has any shot of turning it around and you free up a roster spot in the 40-man, why not? But, I mean, this is what it's come to for Ricky Romero. People getting amped up because he went six innings in his last start for the Bisons. He gave up 5 earned runs on 8 hits. And a home run, struck out 3, but didn't walk anybody. So, I mean, I'm being facetious here, but that actually is a step in the right direction for him.
Two things I will say about that. One, he didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, like I mentioned.
But he threw 3 wild pitches.
Yes. Oh, yes, I forgot about that. He did throw 3 wild pitches.
But, two, he retired 9 of the last 10 batters he faced. He never had more than 12 pitches in any one of the last 4 innings.
Mm.
So those are 2 good things too. And those, you know, you have to take these little baby step victories from Ricky where you get him, because this thing may take a long time and they owe him a crap load of money.
Yep.
So they're going to give him every opportunity to try to get through it. So we'll see what happens. His next start is Thursday morning. It's a 10:30 a.m. game.
What?
I have no idea why.
Okay.
But we'll keep an eye on that. The Blue Jays have that day off. Maybe you should go to Buffalo and check it out for the off day.
Hold on. What day is that?
Thursday.
This Thursday? I'm working.
Have some Loganberry and
I would love to.
Petals,
I would love
some
to.
Some poutine.
I would love to.
I would
to.
Go, but I'm not going because my flight is I'm doing the all nighter that night.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
I would love to go. I still haven't been this year. I have some friends that have been and they love it. And I've seen the ballpark from the highway. Looks great. I'm gonna.
You've never
go.
Been in there?
No, never.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to go. I know.
I've been to a couple of Bison's games. The last one I was at was Steven Strasburg's last.
Oh, I remember
start
that.
In the minors.
That's cool. That was fun.
Pitched against Dylan G. Mike Jacobs almost hit him with a throw on the base paths.
Oh, my.
No, yeah. No.
poor Ramon Ortiz. Feel bad for the dude.
Man.
We still haven't heard anything officially on...
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's 40 years old.
It's tough not to think that his elbow exploded and that his career is over. As cruel as that sounds, and
it's true.
And as, you know, I'm very... anti jump to conclusions guy, but watching him hold his elbow in that spot, crying, and I don't think he was crying in pain. I think he was crying in
the
ride's over.
At least he made it to the majors this year. I mean, that was no guarantee that he would ever see the major leagues again.
3 or 4 times he made it to the majors. He was on the shuttle, and you know what? The best thing about him was how happy.
Yeah,
he always was in the locker room and on the field and whatever. Both times that he got DFA'd by the Blue Jays, you know, where Alex has to call him into the room and say, "Hey, Ramon, not only are we sending you down, but you're off the 40-man. You know,
mm-hmm.
Sorry about this, but you're off the 40-man. We're sending you down, and that's that." Both times he said to Alex, "Thank you for the opportunity. You know what? Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity. That's wonderful that you had me here. Thank you." So that's, you know, I mean, and then to see that happen, and it took the focus obviously off the fact that he'd given up a 3-run homer to a pitcher, and maybe even gave an excuse for giving up a 3-run homer to a pitcher.
Anytime you can win a game where you give up a 3-run home run to a pitcher, that is in itself an impressive feat.
Absolutely the case. But it was just really, really sad to see that happen to a good guy. And you know what? Every time somebody gets hurt and every time someone, whatever, everybody says, "Oh, you know what? Such a good guy." This guy, though, legit.
Legit
good guy.
Yeah, I never talked to him, but did seem like a good dude. Edinson Volquez just kind of closed his eyes and swung at that high heater there on the three-run shot. That was such a Blue Jays interleague move to give up the big hit. I remember Tim Hudson hitting one in a 1-0 game against Ricky Romero.
Off of Ricky Romero.
Yeah.
And that was the game after which Ricky kind of went off on his teammates.
Yeah.
And the lack of offense.
Yeah.
Deservedly so, though he got in a bit of trouble for that. But I wonder if Ramon didn't, you know, if the elbow wasn't hurting a little and he sees a pitcher coming up and thinks, all right, you know what,
this is
my little break here.
Absolutely. I think that happens. If you do that 100 times, maybe once, well, I guess a couple of times, a pitcher's going to get a hit. But and especially a guy who, like, has a career slash line of 110, 120, 130.
And that's with the home run. He was hitting 90 before that at bat.
Jeez.
90.
Oh, boy.
In like 200 appearances, no?
Yeah, I you want me to bring it up? It's not good. I won't even bother bringing it up. It's terrible. A couple of moves the Blue Jays make. Josh Johnson coming off the DL, which is obvious. He's making the start tonight. Rajai Davis is back, but so is Anthony Gose. Anthony Gose still on this team, so the Blue Jays, hey, guess what? They have an extra man on the bench in the National
How crazy
League.
Is that, huh?
What?
Yeah, they had a 9-man bullpen on Sunday night.
So, and you know
nine,
what?
And they needed
they
it.
They needed it. That's what I'm saying. You go extra innings twice.
Yep, that's they had the off day yesterday, so everybody's happy and healthy and fine now, and they'll have the they have an off day Thursday, so you don't really have to be all that terribly concerned about your bullpen right now. But it's great that they have Rajai back, and he'll help. He'll be able to. You won't have to start Anthony Gose in left field against the lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did once. Yeah, and he got a hit.
Well, I'm
but they did it out of necessity.
Yeah, the guy has played pretty well. Obviously, hasn't got a ton of starting time. But does it say anything to you that they haven't sent him down because you thought that would be the move once Rajai came back? Gose goes back down, gets his everyday at bats, but he's still here. Is that just a product of them still being in the National League, and when they return home to American League play, he's gone?
Maybe it may be a product of their desperation right now, the way things are going. And
he's a nice piece off the bench, though.
You know, he's a great piece off the bench, but he's 22 years old, and eventually he's gonna. You would want him to be their starting pitcher, and maybe their.
Starting
center fielder,
yeah.
And maybe their leadoff man if he can ever get on base enough. So you need to continue developing him, or you need to at least continue giving him playing time at some level, and that's just not going to happen here. And I wonder if on Thursday when they come back and they don't have any more National League road games until the three with Arizona in September, they send him back down and say, you know, thank you very much for your service. It's much appreciated. We'll see you in September or when Melky Cabrera has to go on the DL, and then Dustin McGowan comes up.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, more bullpen
that
arms.
That 30-day rehab stint's almost done for Dustin, I think.
Yes, we need more bullpen arms, although you might, the way the starters have gone this season.
Well, right now, they're at
the eight
12,
relievers.
They have 12 pitchers right now.
Oh, really?
Right?
I think. With five starters. Well, who's a it depends on how you classify Esmiel
no,
Rogers.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. They're 12 pitchers.
No, I know, but I'm saying like how many relievers, because that's what you're getting at. How many
Rogers
relievers
is
they
a
have?
Starter right now.
Okay.
Rogers is in the rotation, and Chad Jenkins is coming up on, you know what, so maybe that's the move. Maybe June 11th when Chad Jenkins comes back, then Ghost goes down. That probably makes more sense.
Interleague play is interesting. When you're in the National League ballpark, it's allowed Edwin Encarnacion to play third base pretty well.
Yeah,
I haven't seen too many routine plays. To me, that was his.
Oh, there've been a lot. Yeah,
yeah,
but he's been fine.
Yeah, to me, he has more issues when he has to think about the throw. He can do some great things when he's just reacting. And the first start he got, and I think it was the second batter of the game, came in, fielded that the bunt attempt with the bare hand. It was great play, started a double play, did commit the error in extra innings, didn't lead to anything. He's been just fine at third base, just as good as any of the other options they've got right now. It allows Adam Lind's bat to get into the game, and Adam Lind is the hottest Blue Jays hitter right now, obviously, but he's doing it against lefties and righties. It's not something he's shown in his career to be able to do. Neither is Colby Rasmus, really, with any great consistency, but right now these guys look pretty comfortable against the lefties.
I think, and I don't remember if Lind had faced any lefties after I looked at this specifically, but I think he's got 3 hits in his last 4 at-bats against left-handers.
Yeah.
And he's 4-for-10 overall on the season. So,
are you a proponent of just running him out there until he proves that he is regressing back to his career norm?
No.
Just keep platooning him.
Yeah.
Because it was a good platoon.
Because you're
him and Rajay.
You're getting the best possible out of him. You've got Rajay back now, and Rajay's a very good hitter against lefties, and he adds a whole other dimension to the lineup too. And I really love what Lind has done.
He does look like he's going back to his old approach, though, of using the whole field. And
he couldn't hit lefties then either, though.
Yeah, I mean, his career. I don't know how. I need to look at this year by year, but yeah, his career splits against lefties are not good. 222 hitter with a 266 on base and a 350 slugging. So,
right. I mean, that's terrible. And if you look back at his Silver Slugger season,
what was that,
2010? And what he did against lefties, it was 2009, and he was just okay, if I remember correctly, against lefties.
I got it right here. He was actually quite good.
Well, no, he wasn't. It was
his on base wasn't
on
good.
Base.
Yeah, no, but
he
slugged
for
pretty
power.
Well. Yeah.
But an OPS
of
700.
Okay.
That's not. I mean,
no,
that's
above average.
Of the order. Yeah, but it's not middle of the order, and it's not like
Lind
is going to hit seventh against lefties.
No, but when you have an OPS against righties of 992, and you combine the two, I mean, that's above average.
Right, but why are you combining the two?
I'm just saying, when you hit that well against righties, and I don't know if he hit in the middle of the order against lefties as well.
Of course he did.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm just saying that you can definitely live with that. That's very good.
You can live with it. You can absolutely live with it. But you can't live with it in the middle of the order. And we don't have, a climate in professional sports. Unless you're Joe Maddon, you can't hit one guy fourth against one side of the plate and seventh against the other side of the plate.
Why not?
Because it doesn't work that way. Because nobody does it. And expecting John Gibbons to be the guy who does it, who's not the crazy, quirky Joe Maddon, who has all this I'm so smart manager capital that he can pretty much do anything he wants, is asking a lot. It's like asking somebody else to be the first manager who uses his best reliever in the highest possible leverage situation, whether it's in the ninth inning or not. And it's unfortunate, but it's too much to ask people to be that not creative, but to go against the norm that much.
Okay, what about Colby Rasmus? Do you think he's a different case as far as
hitting? Yeah, because of the defense.
Yes, no.
Simply because of the defense.
But I'm not convinced
because he's hitting seventh.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he can't hit lefties either, though. Because, I mean, yeah, you look at the career splits against lefties, very similar to Adam Lind, but you go back.
And what did he hit in his good year against lefties?
2010, he was outstanding against lefties. 270 batting average, 349 on base, 461 slugging, 810 OPS against lefties. And he was an 875 OPS against righties that season.
I'll take that.
So,
especially because he's not hitting in the middle of the lineup, and he's providing exceptional defense.
Yes.
So, yeah, he gets a pass.
On a
he
team
can play
where,
every day.
On a team where, like, nobody plays defense.
Right, and on a team where, in general, too, you should be very strong against lefties with Bautista,
yep.
With Edwin, with Rajay Davis in that lineup, with Cabrera. You should be pretty strong against lefties.
What are Melky's splits? Does he have?
Melky's splits are awful.
Really?
Against
lefties?
He's really, really bad one way, and I think it's against lefties this year.
Is that his career norm?
I don't know.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Yeah, I know. You've got the numbers in front of you.
Versus left-handed. Versus left-handed. 276 batting average, 334 on base, and a 403 slugging for seven.
Fine.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy who was pretty crappy the first his first 6 years in the big league.
Well, his career OPS against righties is 752. So, I mean, it's very similar both ways.
All right, so he's just having a weird year this year then to this point.
Yeah, we'll see. But guys change too. You know, guys evolve.
Guys do change and evolve, and guys have fluke years. And there are some guys who go back and forth. Chase Headley, for example. You look at Chase Headley, who everyone would love to have here, and count me in, by the way, if he goes on the trade market, hopefully the Blue Jays will be playing a little bit better and be in a position where it'll be smart of them to acquire him.
And then what,
but Chase Headley,
you
move Brett Laurie to second in a heartbeat. Chase Headley last year just destroyed right-handed pitching and didn't hit lefties at all. And in 2011, it was the exact opposite. He destroyed lefties, and he was all right against righties. So guys can change, and guys can have weird years. But again, Cabrera, Headley, we're talking about switch hitters there. Generally, when you have the CV that Adam Lind has, if you will, that's who he is. Colby Rasmus, still young, has had very good years against lefties in the past, may not be who he is. He may eventually be able to be a guy who hits both sides. He may eventually be able to be a guy who's not as crazy streaky as he's been. But I think we've seen enough of Lynn that we know that he's best served in a platoon.
The relievers mentioned your boy, Neil Wagner, throwing smoke. Like 98.
Why is he my boy?
He's your boy.
When did that?
He's your boy. I don't know, because he interviewed him.
Yeah, he's a swell guy.
See, he's your boy. Did he explain why he's good now?
He says something clicked at the end of last season. I don't want to ruin it for you and all the people who listen to the vodcast, but
they watch
the
vodcast.
They watch and listen, hopefully with the sound on. Otherwise,
that's
it'll be weird. but he said something clicked at the end of last season, and he's been able to throw strikes consistently since then, and that was the one thing that was really, really holding him back. And he's been, you know.
Yeah, great.
I mean, watching him in the spring, in second week of March, we were thinking, yeah, this guy has a shot to make this team, because he was throwing really, really well. And granted, it's spring training, whatever, but he wasn't walking people, and he was throwing 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
And then he blew up real good in a couple of outings later on. He gave up a 3-run walk off to Ryan Flaherty, I think.
Sure.
And there was another bad outing. But he's gone down to Buffalo, and he's been quite good.
Mm-hmm.
What's weird, though, is the self-assessment. I mean, of all of a sudden he can throw strikes now that something happened. When you look, he's been in AAA the last two seasons, walking 4.4 guys per or walking 3.3 guys per nine innings. In AA, he only walked 4.4.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in A-ball, he only walked 2.5 guys per nine innings.
Maybe he's just talking about getting behind in counts, though.
Maybe, and maybe it's quality strikes, and maybe it's stuff like that, movement in the strike zone as opposed to walking people and or getting behind in counts and then having to come back and throw very hittable pitches. But whatever it's been, I mean, he dominated in, granted, 20 innings in Buffalo this year, but he was dominant, and he's looked really, really good since he's been up here.
A couple more things before I have to go and move my car so I don't get a ticket, and then I carry the vodcast with Ben Nicholson-Smith, although you're good job getting the interview. But yes, I'll carry you this week. Hopefully you'll be back next week. They're on the road next Tuesday, aren't they? They will be in
Arlington.
Chicago. Oh, Chicago. Okay, yeah. So we'll figure something out. Anyways, you look at the standings, how many teams and the teams that did similar things to the Blue Jays in the offseason have struggled immensely. Now, the Dodgers, it's almost entirely down to injuries for them. Did you see the debut?
They get Jared Weaver back today, though.
That's nice. Did you see the debut of Yasiel Puig?
No, I did not.
Pretty good. A couple of hits, and then ended the game on a cannon from right field, doubling up the runner at first base. So that was cool. But they're 8 games under 500, 24-32. The Angels have struggled pretty much all season long. That one's a little easier to explain because the pitching's awful, and that's been the Blue Jays' problem all season long, partly due to injuries. But, I mean, when Brandon Morrow was healthy, he wasn't doing much, and when Josh Johnson was healthy, he wasn't doing much, and
nope.
R.A. Dickey hasn't done much.
You are dropping truth.
Of those three teams, who do you think is – I mean, I think at least one of them is either going to be in the playoffs or banging on the door of a playoff spot. Blue Jays, Angels, Dodgers, who do you see, or do you not see any of them digging themselves out of this hole?
Well, obviously the road is easiest for the Dodgers, right? Because the Blue Jays are 10.5 games out of first. The Angels are 11 games out, and the Dodgers are 7.5 games out. And they're closer to first place than they are to the second wild card, which is kind of funny.
Mm.
But they're in the National League West, so it's not going to take a whole hell of a lot for them to get themselves back in a race. They're by no means buried right now at 7.5 games out with 2/3 of a season left to play. So the road is easiest for them. But they've also got
the most injuries.
Zach Greinke and Ted Lilly's back now. Matt Kemp just go on the DL?
Yep.
Yeah, so they've got some struggles, but they've got really good.
Carl Crawford is out.
Yeah, but you know what? Carl Crawford's been out for 3 years.
Mm.
I think it's easiest for them. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think it's the easiest for them to get back. But I also think that the Blue Jays and the Angels are going to get back to 500, and they're going to get themselves into races, and they're going to wind up being okay at some point. I don't know if you know, it's too late. Well, it's not too late for them to get back and actually get in a race, but I don't know if they will or not. It's going to be extraordinarily difficult for them. Yeah, they both need it. Well, the Blue Jays need their pitching to come around.
The Angels,
and their Angels just need to, yeah.
From the sky, maybe. Yeah. And you know what warms my heart a lot is to see how the Yankees have finally struggled, and Vernon Wells has turned into a pumpkin. Thank goodness. I mean, the Yankees, I don't know if you've noticed, but they only have 2 wins in their last 9 games. So
and they only have, I think, what, they have no extra base hits in their last 20 innings or something like that?
I tweeted out the struggles that Ichiro has had. I think since like May 10th, he has one extra base hit and one walk, which is, that's, I mean,
wow,
Ichiro,
JP's got more walks than that.
That is crazy, but I mean, that's the deal with Ichiro, even when he was great. And he was great because he could steal and he played great defense and he was hitting 330 or whatever, so he didn't need to walk.
Right.
But
he's never walked.
He never walked. And now that he can't hit and he's never hit for extra bases really either, he is a disaster. I think he's got another year on that deal too, right? I'm sure you don't have it off the top of your head.
I think so.
But anyways, does that make you feel any better? Because it made me feel a lot better because they were a head-scratcher. The way, you know, Jason Nix and Lyle Overbay was playing right field yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I wish I'd been there to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd love to see him pitch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, he's got the arm for right field.
Oh, my God, does he ever.
Mm-hmm.
Best arm of any first baseman I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Things are you know, things are starting to normalize, and that's what's going to happen. And the Blue Jays have to normalize, too. But, you know, since that 10-21 start, they're only 2 games over 500, and they've got to be better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Now Johnson will help, but Morrow's gone. Rajay's back, so that'll help a little bit.
Yes.
But at some point,
pitching.
You know, at some point Santos and Oliver are going to come back, you hope.
Santos, I don't know if he's ever – I have no faith in him staying.
Yeah, I guess he's just a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you got Dustin McGowan coming back, maybe, who knows, but the bullpen's fine right now. Who cares about the bullpen?
Right.
Bullpen's absolutely fine. Get a starter. Get somebody who can go 6-7 innings consistently and give up fewer than 6-7 runs. Man, it's been very dire, the starting rotation. Hopefully,
it's been terrible, yeah.
Hopefully it starts with tonight's game in San Francisco, because if you take the next two and you win a West Coast an interleague series starting in Atlanta, mostly West Coast. If you're able to win that series going home, I mean, despite the disappointment from San Diego, you got to go thumbs up for the Blue Jays. But
yeah, they'd have to sweep the series to win the road trip.
Yeah, it's
right?
Two games.
Yeah, and they swept San.
But they have
their home.
They have Johnson and Dickey against a couple of guys. Well, Lincecum isn't Tim Lincecum anymore, and Zito, who they smashed around at Rogers Center last time.
These are your two best starting pitchers. Amazingly, with Johnson just coming off the DL to make the start, with both of them with ERAs well over five, these are your two best starting pitchers, and they need to start acting like it.
Yeah,
and no better time than these two games. This is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's go.
Hopefully they don't fill up on garlic fries before the game. Although, I still think you should at least wander out there if you get a second, because they're quite good, let me tell you. I mean, I just want you to know that. You think you'll...
I appreciate that. I'll wander. I'll try.
Okay. Thanks. Didn't really sound like you're going to make much of an effort, but thank you for humoring me.
Anytime.
All right. He's Mike Wilner. Follow him on Twitter at Wilnerness590. You can follow me on Twitter at BenisSNet. The vodcast coming your way probably later this week. I'm taping it in mere moments, and hopefully I don't have a parking ticket on my car. But Mike's talking to Neil Wagner, and I'll be in studio with Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca. I'll tweet out the links to that and tweet out the link to this podcast as well. We do it every single week, and we'll see you next week when we're doing it again. He's Mike Wilner. I'm Ben Anacia. Yeah.